is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
You're listening to Thrive. I'm your host, Brad Digney, and I'm delighted to have my wife by my side, Vicky.
Yeah, it's nice we can do this together. There's a few things we do together. So,
That's true.
You know, as far as a ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we do a lot of ordinary everyday life, but this is the thing that we do together, probably the most that's ministry oriented. And it's probably, it's right at the top of my list of one of the greatest things I've seen God do.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to hear that. I've got people that I prayed for over a decade that God would save them. And I'm like, wow. I've got years that we had fallen hundreds of thousands of dollars behind on the budget. And I fasted and prayed and wow, God did it. But I want you to hear this, what he's done in our marriage is at the top of my list of a wow.
And I would agree.
Wow. I mean, no doubt there is a God. No doubt he hears our cry, but I do want you to understand he did not just answer the cry of each of us saying, God, get her.
Mm-hmm.
Show her what I'm trying to say. God, get him. Our cry eventually became, God, show me whatever I'm not seeing about me.
Mm-hmm.
And my new goal is no longer get it my way, make sure I'm heard.
Mm-hmm.
I want to please you.
Right.
Two very
different goals.
So we're talking about talking, and to talk well, you've got to listen well. So we've backed it up in a couple shows now to say, never mind, do you talk? Well, I wish he would talk more. How about how well do you listen?
Mm-hmm.
There are people who talk a lot. They just don't listen.
Listening, I think, is a lot harder.
Oh, it is, because you almost have to learn
it's very
to have
selfless.
You have to learn to have this break almost that you just push it with your foot, like, and you don't say, you don't talk yet. You're ready to talk, but you're like, not yet, not yet.
I think it's perhaps a spiritual or emotional maturity to be able to listen well.
I agree, honey.
It just comes natural.
Now that I'm almost 63, as I reflect on people in meetings and in circumstances, when I watch someone who doesn't speak quickly, they are almost always a very mature man or woman. As you mature and as you know Christ better, you don't usually talk more and talk more quickly. You talk less and you delay speaking. That is a huge sign of wisdom. Wisdom. You think about some of the verses, the people who talk lots and talk quickly do not reflect the wisdom of the scriptures. Listen to some of the Proverbs, and that's a book of wisdom, right? So you want wisdom? Here's some of the Proverbs. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble.
I would read the next one.
Some of you get into trouble with your mouth because you just say everything you're thinking.
Especially
in the context of your spouse, there's times to just not say.
Keep yourself out of trouble.
Whoever keeps
his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. But I like this one.
But here's one. You read it, babe.
A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion.
Oh, God. Isn't that amazing that's in the Bible, you guys?
Yeah.
I mean, he knows us. And so the God who created us is saying, guess what? You are going to be tempted. Because I know, but we love to say to each other, do you have an opinion on that? Do you have an opinion? Do you have an opinion?
Yes.
I've never called Vicky and said, hey, I want to run something by you from work. and say, I wanted to get your opinion. And she's like, I'm drawing a blank. I got no idea.
Yeah.
Never. I mean, it's a little awkward, but I think it's hilarious. Tell our listeners what Coach Somebody said in high school there in Albany, Georgia.
I don't want to say that.
All right. It was very awkward, but it was very true.
Oh, my.
It was a way of saying everybody has an opinion.
Mm-hmm. Everybody. Opinions are like, everybody has one.
Yeah.
This was a high school teacher. So I was in public school.
And he was a coach. Coach who?
Coach Williams. I loved him.
It's like, and so what you need to understand, having an opinion is not that amazing. Oh, but I have something to say. Oh, I have a thought on that. I have a strong thought on that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody pretty much does.
Mm-hmm.
And so a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. Let me give you one more. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. We tend to think the fact that I have something I know right now, there's something I know right now. There's something I know. I've got to say it.
Mm-hmm.
This verse says, nuh-uh, uh-uh.
Right.
Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. You actually show that you have more wisdom when you don't talk.
Because there's a right timing to use your words.
So we're gonna dig in a little more with listening. And here's what it takes. Grace. There's that word again. I hope you realize when the Bible talks about grace, it doesn't just talk about amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Grace is needed for everyday interactions, especially in this thing at close range called marriage. You got to have grace, and grace is what oils the wheels and the gears of your marriage, particularly how you speak to each other. Good communication. Oh, it does require good sharing skills, to be sure, but mostly it just requires a whole lot of grace.
Mm-hmm.
When you extend grace to your spouse, it helps everything. And one of the most important ways you can show grace to your spouse is by listening to what they say. So in an earlier show, we talked about ask good clarifying questions. Hey, give me an example of that. Say that again. Unpack that a little more.
Is this what you're saying? Are
help
you
me
saying
to understand.
Blah, blah, blah.
I hear you saying, is this what you mean and why that's so important? But here's what I want you to understand. Yes, ask questions to your spouse, but as your spouse is talking, there's some good questions you should ask yourself. What are they actually saying? You realize none of us are amazing at communication. It can kind of be like all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
A good marriage is actually comprised of someone who has learned in the midst of everything your spouse just said. What are they really saying?
Mm-hmm.
Can you get the kernel of it? Can you get the gist of it?
What's
can
the
you pick
of the
out of the fog what
can
was
summarize
really?
It?
Yeah. So what did they actually say? What are they trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
It's very unfair when you say, well, you said,
mm-hmm.
and you go with literally exact sentences. That's very unfair.
Right. It's more like letter of the law.
What are they trying to say? Do you even want to know what they're trying to say? And here's a good one. Why are they saying what they're saying right now?
Mm-hmm.
What are they not saying?
Right.
And why are they using that tone? And here's what I want you to realize. With each one of these questions, when you ask these earnestly with a heart to truly understand, it's a precious gift. You're giving your spouse a selfless, precious gift of mm-hmm. grace. And so think about it, in a given day, it's not so important that you run out and buy fresh flowers, and it's not so important that you buy your husband a favorite, whatever his stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
But each day, you have an opportunity to give some precious gifts. And one of them is when you delay speaking and you assume the best, because your first goal is trying to understand them,
right?
Not to be understood. So often we're in a hurry is, I want her to understand. I just want him to understand. I want to be heard. And we give our spouse a precious gift when we delay trying to be understood. And we say, I want to seek first to understand. you'll be surprised how quickly communication lines open up. Let me give you some more Proverbs that confirm this, because the book of Proverbs says, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. When words are many, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Good communication is not about how many words you use. Good communication is about giving your spouse the gift of asking yourself, what is it they're actually trying to say? What are they
trying to
understand?
Saying?
And I want to understand where they're coming from instead of jumping in on a phrase or a word and pinning them to the wall with it, saying, but you just said, but you. And you haven't really understood where they're coming from. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you an illustration of Brad and Vicky.
Where he got it right,
folks. Oh, that we've gotten to a better place now. I love it when she tells a story of where I got it right. Mm-hmm. If you've been wondering, does this guy even ever get it right
he
now?
Does.
Or is she just a saint that is chosen to settle in and love him? Oh, you're going to want to come back because she's going to talk about where I got it right. And it's related to truly listening.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment. And they're teaching today about the hardest skill in marriage. And that's actually listening instead of waiting for your turn to talk. Man, there's wisdom in all of this stuff that they're talking about. Most people think communication problems all come from not saying enough, but the truth is they come from saying too much too fast. Brad kind of hit the nail on the head when he quoted their proverb, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." That describes most marriage conversations right there. At least it did in my marriage early on. Two people just going head to head, battling to be heard instead of really trying to be understood. I can definitely attest to it, and I can attest to this episode being one that everyone needs to take the time to listen to. Listen, send it to young people that you know. Send it to your friends that you know that are married. Everybody needs to listen to this. Something else that everybody needs to listen to and watch and use is Fortis Plus. Send that to them as well, because it's loaded with hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of content by now from voices like Brad and Vicky and Greg Gifford and Adam Tyson, John Cross, Libby Glosson, Todd Friel. And they're all creating content on marriage and parenting and biblical counseling and theology. This is content that helps you build relationships instead of just feeling good about them. We're adding new material every single day. You can see what I'm talking about by downloading Fortis Plus right now, wherever you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org and begin using Fortis Plus. And here's the best part about all of it. It's absolutely free. That's right, free of charge. Not just a free app to download, it's a free app to download and use, because there's no content hidden behind a paywall. You don't get that a lot today with this world of streaming apps that we're living in, but that's the heart of Fortis Institute. We don't believe that any of this should be living behind a paywall, and we're able to provide the content that we're providing absolutely free of charge because of men and women just like you. We call them gospel partners around here. These are people who have been impacted by the content that we're creating so much that they wanted to link arms with us and stand with us to make sure more people in more places all over the world had access to all of this content. That might be you as well. And if that is you, you can get all the information right now about what that would look like in your life at fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, you're listening to Thrive, and we're talking about marriage, and the heart of marriage or any relationship is comprised of communication. Guess what? Communication breaks down into two main components, speaking and listening. And listening is comprised of asking good questions, whether to yourself while your spouse is talking or to them, because you truly want to understand where they're coming from before you speak, or move this in a radically different direction. Oh, honey, tell a story that makes me actually look like God has done a work
in my
life.
Yeah, and I just have to say, I really appreciate Brad's vulnerability and his willingness to let us talk about our marriage, because, you know, we try to both be vulnerable and share things, but I just always, he just is not a person that's like, you can't tell that story. He's never told me you can't tell a story. I've told him you can't tell that story, or I'm not ready for that yet.
But she's still pretty amazing too. We hear from people that are like, I can't believe you guys are this transparent. And it is what God has done in us, but we find it's not helpful if you don't really explain and tell real stuff.
Right.
But I am oh so grateful, because there are pastors' wives, there are pastors who reach out to me and say, I listen to your sermons and oh my goodness, if I talked like you talk and tell stories like my wife, and I'm like, well, then don't do it.
Yeah.
And so Vicky,
be wise.
I want you to know, Vicky has given me permission, and there are times she's like, don't talk about that. Don't tell that one.
Not too many, but there are some.
And she's
and a lot of times I'll come around like 3 months later, like, okay, I'm ready to talk about it.
But
now,
give us something that it illustrates what we're talking about, where you listen to your spouse and you're trying to understand them.
Well, I think, first of all, listening well sends a message to your spouse that you're worthy of my time and attention. Listening well tells the other person you are important to me.
Yeah.
And we just had this happen recently. And I think once again, the reason—
just a couple of months ago, right?
The reason it stands out to me is because it was in such stark contrast to how we used to communicate. And we were driving from, well, I'll say we. So I think we should do a whole show on men and women and driving. I mean, as I go around and talk to women and we mention driving, they're all like, oh my goodness, my husband drives like an Indianapolis 5. I mean, we just have so much to say about driving. So really,
I mean, it's true.
We
live right next to I-75. Mm. And so it's just, I've just learned, it's like there's four or five lanes. And I mean, as quickly as I can, I get to the far left lane against the concrete wall.
I really don't know why he hasn't had some.
Because that's where you can just fly like the wind. And I kid you not, when she's driving, I just have to bite my tongue. We will be in the far right lane where people are entering the interstate, and that clogs it up. They're exiting, which means they're slowing down. Mm-hmm. It's all I can do to keep myself restrained and not speak. I'm like, why are we in the slowest lane?
But getting back,
we're going to go
this,
25 miles, shoot to the far left, get against the wall, and put your head down and go, baby.
Right. We're supposed to be telling a story. So don't forget, tell them. So normally, first of all, we said Brad is not great with directions. He has many, many fine qualities. Directions is not one of them.
Yeah.
We're not joking about that. But secondly, a lot of times he's getting ready to speak or he's tired or whatever. And so he'll say, hey, do you mind driving? So
yeah, more and more I've said, oh,
I mean,
would you drive?
In my mind,
I
like, I don't know whether it was the way I was brought up or my upbringing. I don't know. It's just like, okay, women that drive are controlling and they're like hussies. I'm like, okay, I don't want to be thought of as a hussy.
I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah, I don't know. Somewhere in my past, it's, I don't know. And some of that, that religious teaching, I don't know. Bill Gothard,
I would put
know.
That in the category of dresses only.
You
can't play cards and you can't go to the movies.
So this is always kind of
in my mind.
And I
guess women
mind.
Can't drive their men.
I guess so. Because it's like she's the one just
calling
the shots.
But it is a blessing to me.
Yeah, so I always say...
except that you're in the far right lane going so slow.
I always say... So he'll often ask me to drive. And he'll often like, okay, this is to serve him and to preserve me.
Yeah, that's her new phrase.
And I love it.
I say, would you drive? And she's like... to serve you and to preserve me.
Yes.
I would be willing to drive.
Anyway, I was driving from Atlanta to Greenville, and we were in the car. It was like about a 3-hour drive, and we were talking about succession.
And we're in a season of succession right now. It's no secret now, so I don't think it's wrong to talk about it in the show, that I've announced to my church and my elders that I'm going to retire December 2027, last year. And so it's a
and
pretty big deal.
To do different things.
I mean,
it's not senior pastor.
This is
a big
deal that
deal.
We care about, both of us. We've poured our lives into this one church for 30 years. It was a church plant. We came here in 1995 with 40 adults in a middle school. So both of us love it dearly and have a vested interest. So it's very emotional.
So we were. I was driving and we had just gotten kind of more of a update on what's happening with the succession plan. And so I just
with
said
the interview
to him,
process and the search process for the next lead pastor that will replace me.
And I said, hey, I know you don't want to talk about this, but I just want to say one more thing. And then I would say one more thing. And then we would drive
related
about
to the succession
5 more miles and say, hey, I know you don't want to talk about this, but, you know, can I just say one more thing? And he just interrupted me and he said,
well, I don't think I interrupted you.
Oh, you didn't interrupt me.
Because we just talked in a previous show about don't interrupt your spouse.
But he just basically,
when you took a breath.
Yes, when I took a breath, he said, you know, I understand there's no one else you can talk to about this. And this is going to last a while. So you don't need to ever say, this is the last time I'm going to say this to you. So that was really
life-giving.
That was life-giving to me because he's right. I cannot talk to anyone else about this because it's all confidential, blah, blah, blah. There's so much of ministry that is like, you can't talk to
people
about it.
And I want you to know, because I want you to have hope. If you don't have a great thriving marriage yet, we didn't either.
Right.
That was a brand new learned thing for Brad Bigney. I didn't used to be that way. It literally, it's like the Holy Spirit said to me, oh my goodness, she's hurting. One of the sweetest, safest blessings you could do right now is to turn to her and say, you know, I had the conference in my mind. I was about to go speak, but by God's grace, and that's what I've been asking him to do. Holy Spirit, help me to be a better husband. I just turned to her and I said, honey, I know you have no one else you can talk to this about this right now. Mm-hmm. You can speak to me as often as you want.
I got teary-eyed. I started weeping.
You don't need to ever say that again. Mm-hmm. This is the last thing I'll say. Right. I could tell she was nervous and she would turn to me again because her mind was bubbling up with things. And then she would wait and she would do it again. I thought, wow, I think the way I could love her is just say, you can talk to me as often as you want about this. So go ahead and put in there in your life, it might be a troubled son or a daughter. Mm-hmm. It might be a health issue. It might be her mother.
Right.
But guys, I was so guilty of it. Don't be guilty of thinking, have we not already talked about this?
Mm-hmm.
And shut her down. That's what
Thank
I used
you.
To do. I think I used to say,
that is
haven't
not
we already
life-giving.
Talked about this?
Yeah.
And there's nothing we can do about it.
Right.
So could we just not talk about this anymore?
Right.
Not loving.
Mm-hmm. But that just, I mean, that was life-giving. I just remember thinking, wow, not only is it okay that I can talk to him about this, this is a safe person that he's okay with me rambling
and
on
I
about
just gave,
it for a
gave
while.
You unlimited access.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, think how many things
had.
We have in life. Like, is there only so much? There's only so much.
Right.
And so, and here's what's interesting, guys. If you're thinking, oh, if I ever did anything like that, oh, wow, I would suffer. It would be unending. It's not.
Mm-mm.
She did not just talk about that all the way to Greenville.
Right.
But, oh, it was such a blessing. And here's the thing. We felt closer. I felt it immediately.
Absolutely,
that seemed to just draw her closer to me. When those moments end by you saying kind of curtly, honey, there's not a thing that we can do about it, and we're just rehashing the same things, let's not talk about it.
I think that makes your spouse feel ostracized,
then
alone in the marriage.
Then
like,
you start looking at the interstate,
this is not a safe person.
And you're just riding in silence, and you feel more distant.
Right, alone.
You've got to continually think, what are we doing in our relationship regarding to communication? And each encounter, does it make us feel closer, safer?
That's a good way to look
loved,
at it.
Loved, like you said.
Heard, seen.
Heard, worthy, valuable. Or do I now feel alone?
Right.
Devalued.
Shut down.
Shut down.
I'm inconveniencing my spouse to even try to bring anything to him.
Yeah.
That just shouldn't be the way your spouse feels, whether it's the man or the woman. I think it can be both.
And notice, this was just one little encounter in a rental car driving from Atlanta to Greenville. But marriages, couples sometimes when it's bad, they tend to think, oh, and there is a place for counseling and there's a place for therapy and there's a place for a lot. But sometimes we act like it's just these big, huge things that are going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. That's
your everyday, ordinary little interactions
of leaning into your spouse
are what comprise the heart of your marriage. Stop waiting for big moments and say, well, I want to get it right when it's a really big moment.
Right.
It's all these little moments.
It's the mundane, ordinary, in and out. That's when you're going to have the most interactions.
Because here's the other thing I want you to hear. Everyday, ordinary, mundane is where you actually practice and learn better skills that get you ready for a big conversation that you might need to have. The reason we do so poorly with big conversations and important issues is because we've already been doing so poorly with little ones. Oh, do you know how to communicate with your spouse? Which means, do you know how to listen well? You don't interrupt. You don't jump to conclusions. You don't shut them down. You put out the welcome mat and you invite them to thoroughly help you understand where they're coming from. You want to understand more than you want to be understood, which means you've bought into, my goal is to please God. This just might move your marriage in the direction of thrive, rather than every day feeling like it's about to die a little more. One interaction at a time, one careless word at a time.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.